You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Get that line forms on the right, babe.
Yeah, that's right. This is the Open.
Not that Maggie. Back in town. Look out,
and I expect you all to sing.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 102 on the Fan. McMichael here with you on this Monday morning. The weekend's over already. It goes by fast. Hey, the entire first half of the Major League season is over. It goes by so fast. Before you know it, it'll be Thanksgiving. We'll be carving up the turkey. We'll be like, where'd the NFL season go? It happens so fast. Time moves. Time moves on. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. We got Rami on the other side. And we'll be taking your calls all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show here on this Monday morning. So, yes. As we said, it is the All-Star break. It's a chance to take a deep look at your team, right? It's one of those 10-pole, obviously, halfway through the season, although they played more games than 81. Both teams coming off losses on Sunday. But to me, and I know I'm a glass-full, half kind of guy, but we'll get to some of the negatives as well as we take your calls again all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. I do think both teams, despite losing, the Yankees have a 4-2 homestand, which I would have signed for 3-3 with the way they were playing after the weekend and losing to the Mets in the Subway Series. They sweep Seattle and lose 2 out of 3 to the Cubs. And the Mets go 3-3 in their last six, but take the last series against the Kansas City Royals and even fight back in the final game Sunday to tie it up, but lose it in the bottom of the ninth with Sean Manaea on the mound. So you look at these two teams, right? And obviously, there's been an up-and-down nature to this season for both the Mets and the Yankees. The Yankees, in particular, I mean, both teams go through these horrid slumps in June. They're way out in front. The Mets are up 5 games. The Yankees are up 7 games. Forget that. The Yankees are up, what, 12 games on the Boston Red Sox? And don't look now, and that's going to be a big part of this story right now, is the Boston Red Sox, who, whatever you think of them, and listen, I'll be the first to tell you, I think they are I don't care that they've won 10 in a row. I think they are far less threatened. I don't care how poor he's played in addition by subtraction, and he won't meet with Will Clark to play first base and blah, 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 blah. It's hard for me to think the Red Sox are as dangerous as they could have been with Rafael Devers, but they have won 10 in a row and now have the same number of wins, but are 2 games back of the Yankees in the wild, in the, you know, in the standings of the wild card. And they've won 10 games in a row. The Yankees are in second place, 2 games behind the Toronto Blue Jays, who lost last night as well.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
And this Yankee team, this Met team, ups and downs, and as they head into this All-Star game, the question is really what we've been asking for the last week. How aggressive, and I heard obviously Lori talking about it, how aggressive are these two teams going to be at the trade deadline, and how much do they need to honestly be contenders to win a world championship? Like, that's what you sit back and look for, two teams who are clearly good enough to go win the whole damn thing, or at least felt like that at times. Two teams that are good baseball teams, teams that have been first, teams that have fallen out of first with a bad slump. And I feel like both teams, despite the losses on Sunday, have kind of reestablished themselves a little bit off of those stretches. I do feel the Mets are behind that terrible play, and even the Yankees getting shut down by two left-handed pitchers, which is another thing that we need to discuss about the Yankees versus left-handed pitching. Despite the numbers being okay, top-end left-handed pitching is a problem for this Yankee team after they were shot down by Boyd and Imanaga the last 2 days against the Cubs, losing that series. But I do feel like both of these teams clearly playing better than their worst of a couple weeks ago. The Yankees' offense, despite being shut down the last 2 days, has been far better over the last week. They've won four out of their last six. They had a five-game winning streak. The Mets take two out of three in Kansas City after losing the doubleheader to Baltimore. But pretty much, as you look at these two teams, I don't think there's any doubt. Like, when we say who needs to be more aggressive, and we'll get into some of the things as we go along, full week of shows, obviously, without any baseball. We'll get into team MVPs and what we can expect in the second half and things we're looking for in the second half. But tonight, as we get our first breath of understanding, we got the home run derby tonight, All-Star game tomorrow. Like, to me, my thoughts right now are how aggressive and who needs to be aggressive. And I honestly think, looking at this, I think between the two teams, the way I feel about the Mets right now is a lot better than I feel about the Yankees. I think the Yankees, as you know, we're hearing now, John Heyman's reporting that other GMs around baseball, other executives around baseball, expect the Yankees to really be aggressive.
I can't even believe it.
And then that one caught me off guard, Rami. And then obviously, the way Brian Cashman spoke last week when they got rid of DJ LeMahieu, and the urgency that entire move was. I heard Lori and Peel Caldera talking about it. The urgency and the different feeling around the Yankees since that move, and I've talked about it a lot, whether on the morning show or on the Saturday show this week. Like, that has changed the feeling around the team, and I do get the idea they're going to be aggressive. And to me, they have a lot more holes. You look at the Mets, Manaea comes back into this game yesterday and looked amazing. Like, let's be honest, win, loss, whatever, the best sight you could have as a Met fan was watching Manaea come back from the injury and look the way he looked. The way he was able to get the swing and miss, what was it, seven strikeouts? He was throwing the fastball up in the zone past people. He was getting the ball down. He had the curveball coming out of the strike zone, back into it last minute, getting a lot of look. Third strikes. So you've got him back. You've got Montas pitching the way he pitched in the Saturday game. You've got Clay Holmes still being a steady force. You've got Peterson now giving you multiple consecutive good starts after a little bit of a lull of a couple of bad ones. You've got Kodai Senga back, who only pitched four innings, but was able to work out of every jam he got himself into, just coming back from injury, still having an incredible season. This pitching rotation, which seemed like it was in shambles just a couple weeks ago and was killing the Mets, is right back where you finally are heading into. You are heading into the All-Star break, or you're going to be heading out of the All-Star break with the same rotation you hope to be heading into the season with. For the first time, you're going to get it. You're going to get Senga, Manaea, Peterson, Montas, Holmes. That's what this rotation was supposed to be. Now, whether or not that's good enough, we'll find out. And I'm not telling you I feel all that confident about Montas, but he's throwing 97, 98. He looked good the other day. I would say he's only had one really terrible start since coming back. And this rotation, you feel a hell of a lot better about. The offense, yeah, you probably need another bat. But again, the Fab Four. And although they didn't score too many runs this series, like, they've shown the ability to come back. You do have the top of the order right now that you feel like Lindor's swinging the bat a little bit better. Not great, but swinging it better. You know how good Alonso has been all year. You've got Juan Soto, who has now hit the home run in the other game. He's starting to really swing the bat much better. He had two home runs in the series, I believe. So he's starting to swing the bat much better. Obviously, he's got an OPS over 900. He had an incredible month of June. You feel like he's only going to get better as the season goes on. So, like, for me, yeah, you'd like to add a bat. You definitely need arms in the bullpen, although Reed Garrett has really come out the last couple of performances and got out of big jams, runners in second and third, you know, doing what he's done all year for the Mets. You feel better about him. And Diaz, able to give you two out saves. You know how good he is at the back end of the bullpen. So when you look at this Met team, you look at this Yankee team, to me, the Yankees have many more needs to go out there. Like, they have third base, which is an issue for them. The bullpen is right now, I don't know who you trust in that pen. Williams has been much better. Weaver has had two good appearances after being awful to get when he first came off the IL. And really, outside of that, I don't know. And Tim Hill is your only lefty in the pen. I feel like it's time for the Yankees, especially in a division now that we all laughed at. We all mocked. We all talked what happened to the big, bad AL East. You look at it now, and you've got the Blue Jays in first place. You've got the Red Sox winning 10 in a row. Tampa Bay, who's lost a little bit, they're still, I mean, the playoffs run through, the American League playoffs pretty much run through the American League East. And the question is, how aggressive do you want these GMs to be? And this is the first year, and this is where you're going to have the dichotomy of the two GMs here. Brian Cashman's been doing this for a long time. Obviously, he's used to being aggressive. We've seen him be aggressive. We've seen him not go out and get that top tier, but we've seen him be aggressive at trade deadlines. Stearns, this is his real first year. Last year, they went out and got Maton really early. They tried to be somewhat aggressive, but the edict wasn't there necessarily for last year. Last year was a nice season. Last year was kind of a transitioning year that they ended up being way better than you thought coming off of 11 games under 500 and then the meeting and everything else. Lopez throwing his glove into the stands and then the meteoric rise that took place the rest of the season. But there wasn't an edict. There wasn't a mandate. There wasn't a you better win the World Series vibe around that team. And right now there is. And when you look at this team, as much as I feel better about the starting rotation and the offense has struggled, but you know the as with runners in scoring position and Juan Soto especially, but and you could use the bottom of the order to be a little bit better. You're looking for another bat in there. Winker goes down again. But how aggressive? What are you willing to give up? What is David Stearns willing to do? Any of these pitching prospects that they were so hesitant to call up when they needed it? Instead of going through all these bullpen games, they don't want to call up a McLean. They don't want to call up a Tong. They don't want to call up these prospects because they want them in the rotation and they want to, once they're sprout, once you bring them up, they want to just have them in the rotation. And the way the Mets build their rotation without spending in free agency, you're in desperate need of those type of guys. So right now, does this rotation scream for another arm to be brought in? Not at the top level. So if you're not going to go in and go out and trade for a top-of-the-rotation arm, what are you willing to give up? Can you give up top pitching prospects to go get an outfielder? I don't know if you can. I've talked about this a lot. I don't know if this Mets organization and what they're trying to do and how they're building this product and building this franchise, I don't know if you can trade for starting pitching prospects for anything else but young, controllable starting pitching, because that's what you're banking on filling this roster with. Because you're not willing to go out and spend for primetime free agents. And there's only so many times you're going to hit right with the Griffin Cannings of the world and the Paul Blackburns of the world. Eventually, you're going to need some real talent. So you're hoping to build that from within. So to me, it's very difficult to trade any pitching prospect. So now you're looking at dealing strictly on trading away some of your top, you know, your Jet Williams, who's your top prospect. Now, I don't know if you want to trade him. This is where, you know, it's funny. It's the same thing with the New York Yankees. Brian Cashman prospects hugs. You know, oh, prospects are just prospects. And then when it comes down to move them, then all of a sudden, well, I'm not doing that for a rental. Like right now, the Yankees, I was talking, Marash, I did the show on Friday. I was, you know, I'm listening to him. Schlittler comes up and throws one game. He throws 100 miles an hour. Very good start. Suddenly it's like, well, we can't trade him. Knock him off the list of people. Like, we want Brian Cashman to be aggressive. We want Stearns to go be aggressive. But when it comes down to it, are you willing to trade top prospects for rentals? Right now, they have Spencer Jones, the New York Yankees, who leads all of minor league baseball in home runs. He hit another one. He's been unbelievable. Is that a name? I heard Pete Caldera with Lori tell you that could be a name that's traded. Are you comfortable trading him for a rental? Are you comfortable trading some of these guys that now are showing promise? Are you willing to trade and be aggressive? And I think the New York Yankees and the New York Mets lie under the edict, and heavy lies the crown, of chasing a championship. And this is what has gotten Brian Cashman in trouble before. This is what fans don't like. It's either you sit back and wait for the value because these guys have value, or you go out there and make that aggressive move and try and win right now and pass on the idea of him becoming the next center fielder for the New York Yankees in a year. And it's just, it's one of those moments in time that the GMs are sitting back right now. They just finished the draft. We'll get to the Mets draft pick. We'll get to the Yankees draft pick. We'll get to the Mets Voit and his antics at third base from a couple months ago. And we'll get to the idea of the Yankees and what position they're drafting and whether or not that is a message to a certain someone in this team. And we're going to spend a lot of time on Anthony Volpe today. We'll do that next. Because of all the things the Yankees can go add, and I'll say this before we break, 888-808-1019. I watched the game yesterday, and I have been a defender of Anthony Volpe. I have thought the fan base has been way too hard on young Anthony Volpe. When you look back, when I was defending Volpe, Father's Day weekend, when he got thrown out trying to steal third base in extra innings against the Red Sox, and the entire fan base went off and started to kill him, I defended him. And I said, look, he's got a 767 OPS. He's got 1,000 OPS against left-handed pitching. We asked for improvement this year. Yeah, he's not a star, but he's clearly improving offensively. He's having a much better season. His OPS is 100 points higher than it was last year. And since that moment, Anthony Volpe has been broken. And now we're getting to the point where it's not just his offense, and his OPS is way down under 700 now, back in the 670s where he's lived his entire career. But it's not only that, and it's not only the errors, and it's not only his defense, it's his aggressiveness to play the game. And we've seen it a bunch, and we saw it in yesterday's game. He doesn't charge the ball anymore. He doesn't try and take charge of the game. He is letting it come to him. And now listen, if you watch that play, could Jazz have played it more of a first baseman? Absolutely. Could he have reached out and tried to make a better, get the ball quicker to him? Absolutely. But it's more about how Anthony Volpe right now is playing the game. He's hitting about .150 since that moment in Boston. He's completely lost it mentally. There's no way. His father's fighting people in the stands. I was at the Hard Rock for a Yankee game when his grandfather slunk past everybody and tried to just get to his seats. I'm telling you, he feels it. His family feels it. He understands the pressure he's under, and all of that is weighing on him. He's trying to drive everything. He's trying to pull everything. He is completely broken. But my point in this, before we really get into the problems of Anthony Volpe, is we could add, or the Yankees could add a third baseman. The Yankees could look to add a starter. The Yankees can look to add a couple, if not two or three arms in the bullpen. I will tell you right now what the Yankees are not looking for come the trade deadline. and that is a shortstop and a replacement for Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe is the shortstop of the New York Yankees for the rest of this season. There is no changing that. There's no diverting from that. There's no way around that. There's nothing the Yankees can do. You hear the way Boone talks about him. You heard the way even Cashman continues to talk about him. He is getting the season. He needs to find a way because he's better than this. He showed it earlier in the year. He's better than this. He showed it in the postseason. He showed he can handle pressure in the postseason. He performed in the postseason. He had the biggest hit of the one game they won in the World Series. He had huge hits against Class A, against Cleveland. He had an 800 OPS. He performed. But right now, he has been an absolute zero. He is killing them defensively. He is killing them offensively. And he feels and seems broken. And that broken shortstop better fix himself because the Yankees have a hole at third, the Yankees need a starter, and the Yankees need multiple arms in the bullpen. And they're not going to get all of that. So you can forget the idea of adding shortstop to that list. It ain't happening. Anthony Volpe is playing every single game the rest of the season at shortstop, no matter how bad it gets. They made it to the World Series with him last year. They're going to have to do it again this year because there is no way in hell Brian Cashman is adding shortstop to his list of needs. It's not happening. So as you look at this team, and we'll do more of this as we get along, things they need to have happen in the second half for both teams. Guys, you're looking to break out in the second half for both teams. Additions they're going to make, the team MVP, all the stuff we'll do all week. There is no question. You look at it, you watch yesterday's games, despite the loss for the New York Mets, Manaea's back. Despite, you know, not playing well and losing, you know, going 3-3 in their last six and losing to Baltimore, Kodai Senga's back. You're starting to get guys back. Reed Garrett starting to perform. You look at the Yankees, the offense is starting to come back. They scored more than 5 runs in 6 consecutive games. They won 4 in a row. They came back against one of the premier closers in the sport. They swept the Mariners team that's a very solid team with great starting pitching and pounded them. They came out and beat the crap out of the Cubs for the first game. They got shut down by left-handed pitching. And more than that, you look at the shortstop of the New York Yankees. It's becoming a major problem, and there is no fixing it. He's going to have to do it himself. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So we'll see. How aggressive do you expect the New York Yankees and the New York Mets to be? How aggressive do you expect Brian Cashman and David Stearns to be? Do you want to trade prospects to bolster this team to go chase a championship? Are you willing to trade some of the bigger names in your farm system? And for the Mets, a farm system they've been cultivating under David Stearns and under this owner. Cultivating, adding. Are they ready to really break into it for the first time and try and bring a bat, trying to bring relievers that make impact on this team? I'm very curious to see how David Stearns, because we're just getting new to David. We know what Brian Cashman's going to do. And he'll fail, he'll sink or swim with it. And we'll find out whether he brings in top talent, whether he's willing to trade some of these guys. But we know how he rolls and how he operates. This is the first real time we are going to see David Stearns hit a trade deadline with the edict of it's time to win. And I'm fascinated to see how they handle it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back. We'll take your baseball calls. We'll have a little bit of fun. We'll get into some different things here on this Monday morning as we take it for a little bit more than 3.5 hours the rest of the way until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on my show in the overnight. And I'll be right back with your calls next.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.